He is equal to God the Father, God the Son, but he carries a different function. The Holy Spirit carries a different function. Jesus said, you know, he sent him into the upper room to tarry in Jerusalem, that I'm sending something. I'm going to be sending the Holy Spirit. And, you know, you'll see through John 14, 15, 16, you know, he's talking about the Holy Spirit being released to the church. Amen. So to men, to women, to men. You know, it's Joel chapter 2, Acts 2, you know, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So we understand that there's a promise, but it is the third part of the Trinity. The Bible's very clear. It's not a natural force, it's not a physical force. He is a person. He is a person. Amen. And it says he refers to him as he. So you see, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So just real quick, even around the Holy Spirit is omnipotent, which means all powerful. So the Holy Spirit is all powerful. Amen. He's all powerful. He's omnipresent, which basically means that he's widespread. He can be here tonight. Guess what? He can be over at the church next door. Amen. He can be over at the gas station. He can be somewhere in Africa. You know, he can be wherever he wants to be. One of the brothers in the house sent me a video I think it was this morning, and I pulled it up and I watched it, and it was about revival breaking out in the Amazon. And I don't know if anybody had seen that video. I was actually on the 700 Club, but as I watched the video, I watched people just getting filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, and they baptized like 13,000, 15,000 people this summer alone, just along the Amazon. And the Amazon, I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of the Amazon River, but most of it flows through Brazil, the western part of Brazil. And it's a huge rainforest, but it just snakes back and forth, and there's houses and huts, and they're putting up churches right along the river, right along the Amazon River. Isn't that really cool? So the Holy Spirit is widespread. You know, so the Holy Spirit can touch someone here tonight. He can heal someone here tonight. You know, when we have services in Maui later tonight, the same Holy Spirit can move there. He can touch somebody. He can speak to somebody. The gifts can flow through us. Amen. I mean, that's wow. Wow, isn't that awesome? That we the body, see that I get so excited just talking about it, that we have access to the Holy Spirit. And you know, when we talked about the scripture the other day, that what he wanted to do, he doesn't just want to give us a little drop. He wants to pour out. He wants to pour out just as it was prophesied from Joel, and just as it was on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah, that the Holy Spirit come. It came and it was poured out upon them. This is that, Peter said. This is that which was prophesied. The outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And guess what? He's still doing it. It's not like I said, it's not a little dabble do us, but man, I want it all. Amen. I want the fullness. So we understand that he is omnipresent. He's widespread. So he covers the earth. He's omniscient. He's all knowing. He's all wise. God is wisdom. So we understand that the Holy Spirit has the wisdom. And you know, it just, and I'm going to get a little bit into this tonight. But how does God? God is spirit. So how does God communicate? He doesn't communicate with our feelings or emotions. He communicates with our spirit. Our spirit gets linked up with God. That's how we know. That's how we know we're saved, according to Romans. But I'll get into a little bit of that tonight. But the Holy Spirit, you know, he's a creator. He's all-knowing. He's wise. He's sovereign. And he's a creator. He was there in the beginning. He was there in the very beginning. When the earth was created, the Holy Spirit was there in the beginning. So I'm thankful. Amen. I'm thankful that we understand or can begin to understand the framework of the Holy Ghost and of the Holy Spirit. If you're King James, it says Holy Ghost. If you're New King James, it says Holy Spirit. So that was a joke. But some people get hung up on that. Well, it's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing. But you know, I remember Miranda having a debate one time with a gentleman. It wasn't a debate. He was just like, what are you saying, Holy Spirit? It's Holy Ghost. It's Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. And, okay, it's Holy Ghost. That's fine. It's the Holy Ghost. So what he is not, he's not an emotion. He is a person. you know, David Oyedepo says this, and it's really good. He says, he's the one in charge of the affairs of the kingdom of God on earth today. Think about that, that the Holy Spirit moves. It's widespread. He's in charge of the affairs today. You know, God's in charge, you know, of a release of power on earth. Amen. It's up to us, honestly. You know, the heavens belong to the Lord. He's given the earth to men, to us to rule and reign. But we have such a free, we have such a free gift in the Holy Spirit to help us, to aid us. And we're gonna do a little bit of a deep dive into some of these topics. And just tonight, I want to go through some scriptures. I want to show you a few things. Take your Bibles. Let's go to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Let's pick up at verse 1. It says in Acts 19, verse 1, it says, "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' So they said to him, 'We have not so much as even heard that there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said to them, 'Into what then were you baptized?' So they said, 'Into John's baptism.' Then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who came after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied. And he went into the synagogues and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God." Now, it's interesting because, you know, even the context of the scripture, as I've been studying a little bit, it's, different groups will even, different theology, you know, kind of points this to be a debatable thing. I don't really feel that it's debatable as I'm a Holy Ghost believer. Amen. I believe that there's a real power, that, you know, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But just so you see this, you know, there were about 12 of them, Ephesians, and they were, I would say, because some people make the argument that they weren't saved. And I don't think that's, even in the context of the scripture, you see them as Christians because they had been baptized by John, who in faith believed in Christ Jesus. But there was something that they lacked, and that's why Paul asked, you know, what baptism did you receive? What you know, we received John's baptism. They uttered these words. We haven't even heard that there is such a thing as the Holy Spirit. So we received John's baptism. And, people make the argument even at points here that, you know, were they disciples, were they not disciples? Were they saved, were they not saved? I believe these were men that were saved. They knew Christ, they received Christ as their personal Savior, but they did not possess the fullness of the power of God, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So let me just keep flowing here a little bit through this. They knew about Jesus. They were water baptized, but they hadn't yet received the fullness or the power thereof. How's that? I'm trying to find the right words. I want to be careful how I use my words as I talk about the Holy Spirit. They hadn't received the fullness or the power thereof to walk boldly as God calls us to walk. Amen. Because see, that's the power of God is what creates the boldness in a believer. The power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You even see in the example of the Bible on the day of Pentecost, Peter, who, you know, was kind of ran off by a little girl. Now everything's shifted. Everything's different because now he has something living on the inside of him, and that's power. And so he preached with boldness, and the Bible says that 3,000 were added to the kingdom of God that day. So here you see, have you received the Spirit since you believed? Beloved, are you now receiving this? You know, and let me just say this. Have you received the Spirit since you believed? Have you received the Spirit since you believed? Are you receiving the Spirit in measure? You know, the other night was kind of a prime example, because there was just an outpouring. You know, and it's like the Spirit came in a measure. You guys trekking with me? So, and this has happened. Last Wednesday when Brother Don preached, it was like the Spirit came in measure. And then what happens is that when it comes in measure, a lot of times is if we'll stay in it, or we'll submit to or yield to the Holy Spirit, he will continually pour out. So it a lot of times, and that's the yielding. That's the yielding that it takes. You know, it's like, I'm not worried about my belly. I'm yearning to be in the waters. Amen. It's, you know, it's like what I said, you know, last week. It's like, you know, you come to the place where, you know, you're ankle deep, you're knee deep, you're waist deep, and you know, when you begin to get into your waist in the things of the Holy Spirit, you find a flow. And that was last Wednesday. That was Sunday night. And that's one of the things that God's wanting us to do. He's wanting us to step into the waters. You know, Paul's saying something here to these disciples. He's like, you know, there's something here that you're lacking. And I got to tell you that, you know, a lot of times what's lacking in our lives is the ability to see where God really wants to take us. That he truly wants to take us deeper. I don't even know how to put words around it, but he wants us to go a little deeper. And a lot of times in going deeper into the things of God, deeper in learning to yield to the Holy Spirit, it begins with you just, you got to kick the thoughts out. You got to, you know, what am I having for dinner tonight? What am I going to, you know, what am I going to do tomorrow? What about that? Well, I got to pay rent. I've got to do. You've got to kick out the stuff that the everyday life, the things that are worries, fears, anxiousness. You've got to kick that stuff out. And I believe that's the deep crying out to the deep, that God's wanting us to come into a place where we're just willing. We're willing to say, I want to go a little deeper, amen, and a little deeper, and a little deeper, a little deeper, till I'm completely immersed in the things of God. Amen. And see, the Holy Spirit, He wants to pour out. He wants to pour out upon His disciples. Amen. Not just a little bit, but in fullness. He wants to pour His Spirit out. Amen. You know, and there's so many things that come along with that. You know, we talked a little bit about the fruits of the Spirit. We talked about the gifts of the Spirit. You know, we've taught on that, and I feel like, you know, that's I haven't even finished the fruits of the Spirit yet, but you know, we've taught on the gifts of the Spirit. You know, the gifts of the Spirit flowing through vessels. God wants he wants us to operate in these things, not just a pastor, but the body of Christ. Amen. He wants you to operate in the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. He wants you to prophesy. Amen. And the Holy Spirit wants to flow through us. So if you've never heard that before in church, you've never heard, hey, the Holy Spirit wants to do this in my life, and he wants to use me, please hear me. You have a pastor that's telling you, he wants to do this stuff in you and through you. Amen. It's not so that you get the glory, or, you know, look at what I've done. It's not about that. Not that we would boast ever, but it's what God does through a person. Amen. You know, I said it. God always, He always wants us to go deeper. You know, we tend to sip where we could drink. We tend to take a sip where we can drink. You know, and it's like, and I'll say this, because I feel like there's got to be just a continual, you know, not just, I'll just take a sip, you know, of the things of God. But no, I'll drink those that are thirsty, you know, those that are hungry, you know. Isaiah 43, I quoted that scripture, you know, Sunday night. But, you know, those that are thirsting, amen, those that are desiring, God will take you deeper. So it will begin with you having a desire to go deeper. Amen. Anybody with me tonight? Amen. Oh, praise God. Let me give you three things. Let me give you three things tonight. How does the Holy Spirit communicate with us? How does the Holy Spirit communicate with us? Because I think sometimes we... I'm going to say this because I don't feel like these are the only three ways the Holy Spirit would communicate with us. It's three ways that I've read, I've studied, and I've kind of, you know, been through a lot of studying. And Kenneth Hagin, I was even looking at some of his stuff today, and just some of the people that have preached around this. And but the Holy Spirit does communicate with us. Amen. And take your Bibles, go to Romans 8:16. I'm going to give you some scriptures tonight that I feel that would be, you know, good. If you don't have them underlined, it's these are good passages. Romans 8 is all good. I mean, it's, you know, I would encourage you, you know, to put to remembrance Romans 8. It's powerful, you know. It's powerful. I used to read it every night before I went to bed for a couple years. I just would read Romans 8 and Romans 8:16. The Bible says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Amen. So the Spirit, God is Spirit, he you know, right here it says, he bears witness with our spirit. You understand that you're made up of three parts. You have a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. You have a flesh, your flesh body, and you have a spirit. So, we've taught this, many of you know that, but to understand that the body's made up of three parts. So God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God. Amen. So in saying that, we understand that there's communication that takes place. Now, the first one that I want to cover tonight is the, it's the inward witness. Let's cover this, the inward witness. The inward witness of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit will speak. We're going to talk about that in a second. But it's the, I believe this, and you know, a lot of people that I study and read, I do believe, because from my own experience, this is how God communicates with me mainly. You know, I'm not saying he hasn't communicated with me other ways. Some people have heard the audible voice of God. You know, whether in a vision or caught up, at one point in time, I remember hearing the audible voice. It's not a common thing that I have experienced, but it's the, what I want to talk about, and what I feel that the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit communicates is through the inward witness. The Holy Spirit, he bears, so you guys with me, he himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So, let me just read what I got here. It says, you will find that being led by the inward witness is the number one way or primary way that God leads all of his children. And I think I just said that. The inward witness of a person, the Spirit doesn't communicate with emotions or feelings, but with the Spirit. I've kind of covered that a little bit. So that God is Spirit, okay? So think about this. Feelings—the feelings that we possess—that's the voice of the body. Okay, so that's like when you have a pain, right? That's your physical body, right? That's you know maybe you have a headache. That's the voice. I have a headache. There's the feeling of thereof. You guys with me? I'm not losing anybody. I hope not. So the Spirit doesn't communicate with emotions or feelings, but with our spirit. Reason is the voice of our soul or of our mind. The soul of a man, reason, you know, we think, we have thoughts, reason is through the soul. Our conscience is the voice of the Spirit. The conscience is the voice of the Spirit. I mean, let me say this, because I feel like sometimes we can get into a lot of trouble. And I realized this the other day, and as I was thinking about this, even this passage today, I made a comment about, I don't know, it was maybe a week ago, and I made the comment, and I've probably made it, maybe some of you, I feel like the Lord's showing me, or I feel like the Lord, I feel, and I made this comment, and I was like, is that me, or is that the Lord? And so I checked myself, because see, that's what the inward witness does. the inward witness of the Holy Spirit will check you on things. It's like, hold up a second. And as I said something to somebody, well, I feel, and then I was like, okay, let me think a second. Is this me or is this the Holy Spirit? Because a lot of times we can make moves or we can make decisions based upon feelings, our natural feelings, amen? And then we can attach God to that. Well, I feel like God's telling me to go buy a new car. Well, then go buy a new car. You know, sometimes it's not the Lord, it's just you want a new car, right? So there's nothing wrong with having a car. So, but, you know, a lot of times we have to be careful not to attach God to feelings or emotions. Because we have them, amen? So does that make sense? that the Holy Spirit is a teacher. He's a guide. He will help us, amen? So so if we go by just feelings, a lot of times we can get into trouble. We can, you know, we can get into trouble by just our emotions and just our feelings. You know, I got to tell you, the inward witness is something, like I said, that, you know, we have to really begin to pay attention to. You know, just examples that I'm, you know, even probably a week or so ago, I've been reaching out to someone, you know, and they're not from around here, and just I felt to minister to them, you know, just to reach out and drop a phone call. And called, no answer, sent a text, no response, then they responded. And then I was just like, I felt very quickly just to respond to that text. And as I was responding to the text, I felt a check in my spirit, no, not right now, do it tomorrow. And I was like, what's that all about? And it was that inward witness. It was something that the Holy Spirit had checked me on, not to make a move now, but to wait. And I think it's so important sometimes, and I want to say this, because sometimes I think it's like, if we just wait, and rather than us trying to make something happen or force something to happen, but to allow the Holy Spirit to maybe do something on the other end, but to take a stance of, you know what, I need to step away from this and I need to pray. And that's exactly what I did. That's how the Holy Spirit, I think sometimes if we'll stop and we'll think about what is the Holy Spirit wanting to do. You know, is this person needing my opinion or my wisdom? Because I think sometimes that's what we get into. Well, I can solve the problem. I've been there before. I'm Superman. I'm Super Brad, right? You know, I know how to. I've been there. I can. No. Sometimes we just have to step away, and sometimes we've got to allow the Holy Spirit to move in an area in someone's life. And within 24 to 48 hours, that very thing that I was praying about, guess what happened? It was resolved. And I stopped and I recognized, and you know what I did? I thanked God. Because I went to bed that night and I said, Jesus, I need you to do this because I don't know what to do. It's out of my, you know, because I think sometimes we can get stuck into this whole thing. I've got to be there to help. I'm going to come in and rescue somebody. And sometimes it's that inward, you know, that voice, right? It's not the still small voice we're going to talk about in a second, but it's that inward feeling of, I got to just control myself. Back away and pray. And as I backed away and I prayed over that situation, like I said, within 24 to 48 hours, God was kind of, he was working in that position. He was working, he was working things out. And you know, what's really cool is that in even in this position sometimes, God will then allow you to come in and prophesy and encourage and build someone up. That the gift of the Spirit of even just prophesying, encouraging someone will flow just in a text. Hey brother, I just want to tell you, you know, I just want to encourage you in this, that, you know, God loves you, and you know, man, I just see a bright future for you, and just to, you know, to speak life and to speak those things, and you know what's really cool? That's what that person needed to hear. They didn't need to hear my opinion that I would have had the night before. I'm giving you something to chew on tonight. You know, because I think sometimes it's like the inward voice, the inward witness. It's like, and my wife could tell me, you know, sometimes you just need not talk. You just think before you speak. And that's true. Sometimes we have to think before we speak or even release something. I'm not saying she's mean, you know, I love you, honey. So, yeah. Praise God. So we can get into trouble if we ignore the inward witness. What is the inward witness? It is that check sometimes. You guys know what I'm talking about? You got the Holy Ghost, right? You know, you got the Holy Spirit. When you get born again, the Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of you. Amen? Now the power, we'll talk about that down the road here, but understand that check is the Holy Spirit. Don't go there. Don't go that, you can be sitting around thinking, you know, I'm going to go over here and hang out with some friends, but then you get a check. And it's like it's the Holy Spirit. It's the inward witness. You know what? You know, and it's God. He's communicating with your spirit. Your spirit's wanting to have a voice in your life, but ultimately, it's that wrestling where that wrestling begins. Even for a new believer, even for somebody that's been saved 30 years, it's that paying attention to. No, this is what God wants me to do. I need to be settled. I need to be settled in my spirit, man. I need to be settled, but I need to be settled in my mind. That inward voice, like I said, I believe that's how God communicates with most of us. You know, He communicates that way with us. So don't ignore that inward witness. Amen. He bears witness with our spirit. Amen. That we are sons and daughters. Amen. Praise God. Oh man, there's a lot there. I think it was Kenneth Hagin. He said, "Great." He didn't name the name. And in one of his books, I think it was maybe Believer's Authority, he said, "I had a great man of God," and he didn't name his name. He told Kenneth Hagin. He said, they were talking about the Holy Spirit, and he said, "You know, how do you follow the Holy Spirit? How do you yield to the Holy Spirit?" And he said, I follow my deepest premonitions. I follow the my deepest convictions, and I pay the very ones that I have. I pay attention to those. I pay attention to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And guys, this is so huge for us as believers. But I got to tell you that sometimes we have to get into that place where we truly are willing to pay attention to the Lord, to really just focus on, hey, this is what you know, it bears with my spirit. Amen. This is what the Lord's saying. You know, before you make a move, I'll say this because, major decisions in my life. I mean, since we've been believers and since we went to the missions field, major decisions, I also get counsel around. I remember the first time I went to doctor and told doc, you know, doc, you know, doctor, we're Dr. Morocco, is who I'm referring to. I said, you know, I feel like we're going to be going back to West Virginia, And of course, you know, that was the first time I shared that with him, and he just changed the subject and was ready for me to plant 5 more churches. So not that he changed the subject, he just started talking, and that's how he ministers. He's like, well, praise God, we're going to do things for the kingdom of God, and praise God, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. And I said, well, you know, he asked me what the plan was, and Minister Lee Howe, Minister Martin were a part of that, and God had begun to show us those things. And this was like, I didn't, you know, I, when God showed us, I didn't just run and ba 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 ba. You know, we took time and we prayed, didn't we? We prayed. We set our faith. We prayed about it. Is this the will? Is this the word of the Lord? And then I sought counsel, and that's what we did. We sought counsel, and you know, and then we had a plan, and then God began to move through that. So I, you know, even when something bears in your spirit that God is speaking to you, man, it's so. You know, that's the thing. The body of Christ is, we don't have to be independent. God has set before us people that will help us, that will show us things, that will, you know, be with us and pray with us. Amen. Especially prayer. You know, because you know what doctor did that day? He grabbed me by the arm. He said, let's pray. Let's pray. You know, and when he called the other day, you know, I never get off the phone with him and where he says, let me pray for you, Pastor Brad. Of course, I don't know where I'm at. I just praise God. Well, raise my hands. Amen. I'm getting blessed. So, But, you know, I would say that, you know, even when you feel, you know, God moving something in you, man, just, you know, sometimes there's the quickness. I'm going to talk about this. Sometimes you got to move quick. Amen. But a lot of times, even with big things, God will, His Holy Ghost, His Spirit will be there with you. He'll help you. He'll help you walk through things that you don't walk through it quickly. That you put the right things in order. Amen. He'll help you. Praise God. I don't know why I'm even unloading all that, but secondly, we have the inward witness. Secondly, is the voice of the Spirit. Take your Bibles, go to 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19. The voice of the Spirit. It's different than the inward witness in the way that your spirit will speak to you. I would say this, I don't know how to... In the way in which the Spirit of the Lord will speak to me a lot of times, it's like I will see the words of what He's saying, and I also hear. It's not that I'm hearing the audible voice of God, but I almost see it like in a book, and I see it almost like in a book, and then it's like I hear. This is what it's not like loud. It's not it's that still small voice. That's why I want you to go to 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19. It's that still small voice. I was driving down the road many years ago to Fairmont, and I've shared this story. And as I was coming on US 50 right through Clarksburg, I heard there's going to be a car wreck up here. All I heard. That's all I heard. There's going to be a car wreck up here. And I then said, what am I to do? Because I had heard that voice, I'd recognized that voice, and see, understand that it's like, you know, what is it? It's the story with Samuel and Eli, right? You know, where Samuel, when he was a young boy, he heard the voice of the Lord, and he took off, and he, you know, the first time he went in and asked Eli, you talking to me? He's like, no, that, I didn't say anything to you. He went left and he came back second time. Eli, what do you want? I don't need anything. And then a third time, you know, Samuel comes back in. Eli, did you? And Eli said, stop and answer, or stop and respond to what you're being asked. And so then God began to speak to Samuel. So it was like that, you know, it was that still small voice. He thought, hey, you know, what is that? You know, but it was that still small voice. He hadn't heard it. So I remember that I would been in places where I had recognized God communicating, you know, out of my spirit, I would hear, do this, do that, do this. And so I did. You know, I literally wasn't even on the road. 3 minutes, 5 minutes, and there was a car wreck. Okay, and then comes the assignment. See, the Holy Spirit isn't done a lot of times with just, there's something up ahead. There was an assignment attached to what was ahead. And was the assignment was, come back through and pray with those people. Well, I missed the first excellent Clarksburg because I was shaking so bad. This is the honest truth. I was like, I can't believe you. You know, there's a car wreck. You know, and I moved over into the flesh realm. To be honest with you, that's what I did. And so I drove all the way up, come back down around, and the car wreck had left. And you know, and I honestly, I felt like I had missed it. Did you guys flip to 1 Kings 19? See the end. You know, even the voice. I you know, there were times that I heard from the Lord, pray for that person. Or you're getting ready to encounter somebody that's blind, pray for them. And I tell you, that very thing shook me the first time that I heard that. I was walking down Hanna Bay, and it literally, I walked out off the corner, and I felt like the Lord said, you're getting ready to pray for someone that's blind. And I didn't know what to do with that. I walked to the car, and I came back, and here was a guy and a lady coming down the road with a stick. And I was like, wow. Wow. And I walked back into the church, and I was like, Lord, you know, you told me that I would encounter a blind man, and so the assignment is I need to go pray with them. So I went back out, and they had already left. And I hate to share those stories. Like, I've had great stories, too, where I followed the voice of the Lord. Amen? So, but I'm just giving you examples of man, you know, when you hear something from the Lord, be quick to move. Amen? Be quick to, you know, in that, I'm not talking about the inward witness, but I'm talking about, you know, it's going to be a car wreck. You know, okay, what? Just like Samuel, you know, Eli said, you know, answer the Holy Spirit. Get your assignment. You guys go to 1 Kings 19. Is this making any sense to anybody tonight? 1 Kings 19, verse 11. Man, I love this. This is so good. I love this story. It says, 1 Kings 19, verse 11. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After a fire, a still small voice. So it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in a mantle, and he went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? This was the second time. This was the second time that God had come to him and says, what are you doing here, Elijah? So, how did it come? It came in a still, small voice. It wasn't, you know, there was a storm going all around him, but he heard this still, small voice. It was a, what are you doing here? You know, I don't know if it was at a distance, but it was, you know, it was calm. You know, the Holy Spirit, you know, man, he's good, right? You know, sometimes it's not in the thundering. It's not in the bah, you know. I mean, sometimes it's like that. But sometimes it's just do this. Just do this. Then the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? In verse 14, and he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. And so, and watch this. Here's the assignment. So God gets his attention, the still small voice. Here's the assignment. Then the Lord said to him, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nishmei, as king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of Japhet, of Abel. And you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. So, just to point out here that you know, in this voice, in the voice of your spirit, a lot of times it's that you hear something from the Lord. Guys, I'm not telling you this is the only way the Holy Spirit works. I'm giving you three very strong ways because you can hear. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Where you've heard the Lord and the Lord's, you know, there, you know, it's beyond the pressing. It's not here, but no, do this, and then you respond to what the Lord's asking you to do. It might be to minister to someone. It might be, you know, guys, it's, you know, in a work environment. Can I tell you? It might be that the Holy Spirit tells you to go over and say hi to Jim. You don't know what Jim went through that morning. But the Holy Spirit does. You don't know what some lady was dealing with. You know, Brother David, you know, the other day, just he said, you know, can we pray? There's a kid we've been praying for several months now. And David said, you know, can we pray as a group? Because I haven't seen the parents yet. And I feel like I want to minister to the parents. We're praying for a young kid, a young boy. You know, he's not very old. Has cancer, right, Brother David? Yeah. Axel, yeah, his name's Axel, and so, you know, and David, yeah, it's a burden, and David said, will you pray, will you guys come together in agreement that I'll see his mother today to be able to pray with him, you know, so we're in a, so, the power of prayer is amazing. I don't need to pray. No, you need to pray. We come together in agreement, we prayed, and, you know, we sent a testimony later that day. It's like, you know, yeah, I gotta meet with the mom and dad. So, praise God. But you'll find that in this voice, the voice of the Spirit, you'll get your assignments a lot of time. You know, can I tell you that we're ever learning? You know, but like I said, you know, in your workplace, in, you know, Brian sent me a thing the other day. I mean, he was with me one of the nights when I was at Walmart, and I prayed with Abu, and then Brian sent me a picture the other night, and he had a chance to pray with Abu and pray over his wife, and you know, sent me a picture of Abu, and you know, and it was just really cool. And is, you know, guys, it's just like, you can get your assignments that quick. You can hear the voice of the Lord that quick in a place or in a location. Like just don't push it off. Don't ignore it. You know, and like I said, it doesn't have to be all spiritual. It can be, hey, how you doing? Hey, can you know, you like to grab a cup of coffee? You know, and it's you're just allowing the Lord to begin to move in a position or a situation, and that's the yielding of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's the stuff that we pay attention to. Amen. The voice of the Holy Spirit. It's your spirit. Your spirit has a voice. Your spirit will speak to you. It'll, you know, you know. And once you get built up in the Spirit, you know, Jude 1:20, pray in the Holy Spirit. We're going to move into that, and we're going to talk about that. But it's important that you recognize this. And then once you got an assignment on the way to work, on the way to school, Justin, it's work, right? But yeah, you got an assignment from the Lord. I'm driving down the road, and let me ask you something. Was it like, did you hear that, or did you just get, was it something inside of you? Something, so it was like that, yeah. So it's kind of like the first one. It was just like a knowing, like I feel that, yeah. Amen. That was 1 Kings 19. That inward witness, like you, there was a knowing. Oh, man. I got a lot of other scriptures here, but let me look here. Let me give you these few points. So you have the inward voice. You have the voice of the Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, it's his function in our life. You know, I've listened to a lot of African pastors, and you know, and they always say his function in our life is to make our life more comfortable. You know, that the Holy Spirit is here to make our lives more comfortable. So I would say that a lot of times when we're in turmoil, when we have anxiousness, when we have fear, when we have just stuff going on sometimes, it's like how do I get out of that? And a lot of times is, you know, please understand, you're going to have to move into an area where you begin to feed your spirit, man, not your flesh, man. Because the flesh will ultimately will rule and reign if you give dominion to your flesh. If you give your flesh whatever it wants, it's like sugar, right? It's like, you know, you ever just need a sugar fix, right? You know, and then you want another, then you want another. But it's... if you feed your flesh, you're going to have fleshly results. If you feed your spirit, man, you're going to have spirit results. And so it's so important that, you know, how do you have spiritual results? Well, you know, it's through the Word of God. It's meditating. It's spending time in prayer. It's having a routine with the Lord. It's doing all that. Amen. And I'm thankful. Many, you know, people in this house, there, you know, many of you have great routines. I mean, 6 o'clock morning prayer. You know, I go to work. I'm at work at 7. Brother John gets up at 4 o'clock, reads the Bible. Like, you know, it's 4, right? 3:30, 4. We 3:30. Praise Jesus. That's impressive. So, but you know, but. Routines. So it's like we develop these routines in our life where we can begin to pay attention to the things of God. Amen. So that's how we push flesh aside. You know, fasting is another key component. And a lot of times, you know, I feel like we need to spend more time before we even go into the new year talking about fasting, the benefits of fasting, that, you know, pushing your flesh aside and growing and building up your spirit, man. You know, and it's so necessary. It's so necessary because, man, you there's so many things that come against the mind's eye even today. I mean, you can't go anywhere and not see some form of deception trying to pull you away from the things of God. I mean, it's in our commercials, it's in our TV, it's in everything. I mean, so it's in the vocabulary, it's in how people sing music, songs, whatever. It's in everything. So it's so important that you stay in tune because, you know, one quick thing, you drop your guard in your flesh, the enemy's ready to just put something right there, you know, and it will throw you off. It'll throw you off. You know, the Holy Spirit, you know, at salvation, you know, always like to equate this as like it's a light. And maybe it's because of how I seen it when I got saved. You know, the Bible says the old is gone and the new has come, and it's like sometimes we have a hard time wrapping our head around the newness of God. But ultimately, when we get saved, there is a light switch. There's something in us that now is on. And, you know, and there is a war that begins to take place. You know, your flesh and your spirit are, you know, at war against one another because God is spirit. He's wanting to communicate with spirit. He's wanting to get good things into you. And it's just like this stuff that takes place. But the Spirit of God is you know, it's you know, the Bible, you know, he's a quickener. He quickens us. You know, he's a comforter. He comforts us. I mean, there's no greater comfort than that of the Holy Spirit. No greater comfort than that of the Holy Spirit. I have a wonderful, wonderful wife. She's a great comforter. Amen. But not you know, there's no greater comforter than the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that. And the Holy Spirit quickens us. And, you know, those things are now at work in our lives. You know, Paul in Acts 19, you know, he was talking to the men of Ephesus, and I believed it was one thing that they didn't have. They had Jesus. They knew Jesus. I believe there was the working of the Holy Spirit, but they lacked power. And that's why he said, "Which baptism did you receive?" And I just, you know, I would ask you guys this week, you know, search these things out in your heart this week. Am I walking in power? I know that seems like a really, maybe a bold question, but am I walking in the power of the Lord? You know, and ask the Lord, you know, Lord, what do I need to do to walk at greater levels in you? You know, there's a laying on of hands, and I believe in all that. Amen. But listen, there's nothing greater than when a saint gets, that when you begin to get the revelation, I've got power living on the inside of me. I've got something burning on the inside of me. I mean, man, I love getting hands laid on me, you know, by great men of God. It's awesome. But man, when I get the real revelation of the power that's working on the inside of me, and I begin to pay attention to that, man, it's, you become... You become a disciple maker. You become somebody that's, you know, I'm a soul winner. I'm gonna do the things for the Lord. Amen. And so just grab a hold of that stuff. I butchered a little bit of this tonight, but I feel like it's so important for us to learn how to yield to the things of God and yield to the Holy Spirit. Knowing first and foremost, like I said, that inward witness, you know, I probably didn't spend enough time on that tonight, but so many times that's how the Holy Spirit talks to us. He communicates with us. Is that inward witness. Quit this. You ever hear that before? Just three of us. Amen. Don't go there. Yeah, I remember one time when I heard that I come out of a dream. I mean, guys, I'm giving you stuff because this is happening in this house. You're being woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning. The voice of God is your spirit speaking. Get up. And you know what? Sometimes we go, I don't want to ask why. I just want to go back to bed. See, the assignment is, what is it, Lord? I need you to pray over this, this, and this. You guys tracking with me? Because I'm up at 3 again. Why am I up at 3? You know, and then you'll begin to recognize that still small voice. I'm up at 3 again. Oh, it's to pray. It's to pray. It's that, you know. You know, I got woke up one time, and I was several times I've been, man, I just, great God encounters. Some of my greatest encounters have been coming out of a dream or in bed early in the morning, 3, 4, 5 o'clock. Get up and go. And I drove 45 miles, and I knew where I was supposed to go. And then I was like in Walmart parking lot, 5:30, waiting them to open up at 6 o'clock. I'd left 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, went to a specific gas station on Route 2 because the Holy Spirit told me to go there. I mean, it's like, you know, those are just examples. Pay attention to what the Holy Spirit says. He'll help you. He'll help you help others. Amen. Isn't that cool? And like I said, it doesn't have to be, man, it could be just, how's your day, Bob? Bob might have had a death in the family. Might have had something, you know, just that opportunity. Just to be able to minister, to be a witness, God's witness. Praise God. I don't have anything else tonight, guys. I just wanted to kind of jump in this a little bit tonight, and I want to lay a little bit of a foundation, because if we don't understand who He is, we don't understand how He communicates. You know, you can walk around with your head in the sand, as you know, and I believe this story even in Acts 19. These were Christians that believed in God, but they didn't have everything that they could have. That's why Paul laid hands on them, and they received more. Amen. So we can receive more. And see, that's the thing. You have to desire more. You have to press for the more, and you have to believe for the more. Amen? And study for the more. Confess for the more. Praise God. Praise God. Minister, if you would.